Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and Daniel Mangana, and this is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. And once again, we are introducing ourselves here on Channel 5, the local cable access here in Simsbury, Connecticut. Those of you who may have tuned in yesterday saw our first episode. We're going to do a follow-up today to kind of play on some of the principles and ideas we talked about yesterday as we introduce a new audience to the law of attraction and to the goodies of being conscious creators. And of course, a welcome to all of our regular podcast listeners, because this show does originate and did originate as a podcast that I've been doing for the past 8 years, currently with 8 co-hosts, so 8 by 8. And these two are among my favorites, because let me tell you, if you're not laughing by the end of this episode, it's not their fault. They're doing their best, and these guys are fun. These guys are just playing fun. So let the fun begin. First of all, I'm going to welcome Alex. And Alex, you come to us from Hyannis, Mass, so you're on the Cape Cod. There you are, yeah, in all your glory. Where's the, you usually have your unicorn headphones. Where's the headphones today?
I am totally down today. I'm back out, so I'm in bed.
Oh, well, sorry to hear about that, but we'll send some healing vibes your way.
But
the hair is looking good. The hair is always looking good.
All day.
Always, yeah. What does the shirt say today? Because you always have a message. You always have a message on the shirt. What does the shirt say today?
I'm the girl your mother warned you about.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I actually wore this shirt the first time I met Kenny's mother.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. And Daniel's coming from the coming to us from the southern tip of the Baja Peninsula in Mexico. Hello. And how are things in paradise there, Daniel?
It's hard work, you know. Somebody's got to do it.
Hard work, living in paradise. I feel you, bro.
Yeah.
It's 70 degrees here right now.
I was thinking that, you know, maybe I should, you know, ease up a little bit and go and get some snow. Not!
Well, don't come here, because it's not here.
It's not here yet, no. Eventually, but it will be.
I'm all right. I'm all right. Thanks.
And Daniel, in particular, I want to point to as an LOA expert, a law of attraction expert. He is a published author. He's a life coach. And he basically coaches people to high incomes. He's basically known as money coach. Not that he doesn't do everything where law of attraction is concerned, but that might perk up a few ears for people who are saying, you know, I really could use this LOA stuff to kind of improve my income. Well, guess what? You can do it. It can be done. And this guy's going to tell you how to do it.
Thank you.
And in fact, a previous episode that we did that was kind of an introductory episode, Daniel, you were kind of laying the groundwork in that episode about, you know, how do you understand this whole stuff? Because, I mean, we can kind of define it quickly. I mean, law of attraction, very similar to what Christians call sowing and reaping. So it's an easy enough concept to understand on the surface. But as you pointed out in that previous episode that we did, you kind of have to start with the common denominator. Why don't you kind of go over that common denominator idea again to kind of bring us all up to speed?
Okay, so first and foremost, hey, howdy. But what we're really looking at is the idea that if I have 20 relationships, this is the example I love to use, the analogy. If I have 20 relationships, 20 different people, and I want to improve these 20 relationships, I can move to each of them individually and do the work of repairing that or changing that or changing the dynamic, try to change the other person, get them to do counseling, or I can have a more effective distribution of change by just changing the one thing that's common in every single one of those relationships, which is me. So I take my energy and I direct it into changing me, something that, number one, nobody else has any direct control over the changes I want to seek to make in myself that I don't give to them. I can actually measure and get feedback directly on the changes within myself. And then number three, if I change, then every single one of those 20 formulas changes. Every single one of those 20 calculations is going to change because me is a denominator. So ultimately, what I teach in my work with Beyond Intention, which is the name of my model, is that we are seeking to come to a place of accepting that we are the author and creator of our life and that we're responsible for everything that's shown up by virtue of who we are and therefore have the power to create anything that we want to going forward. But before I can jump to that, if I just start with this simple idea that no matter who's been there with me most of the way, who's, you know, my mum gave birth to me, but she's not there with me when I'm in the bathroom. There's only one thing that's there in the entirety of your existence, and that is you. So logically, you cannot deny the simple fact that if you change you, the substance of everything else must change, even if it's to different degrees.
So essentially, if we were to kind of take the conscious creation law of attraction element out of it, what you're really saying is work on yourself and your life gets better.
Work on yourself and it might get worse, but work on yourself and it will change.
It will change. Well, that's an interesting point, yes.
If you change you, everything must change.
Mm.
So why is it that sometimes when people make changes, you just raised a kind of a scary point. If people make changes, why aren't the changes always for the better? Why does it sometimes work out not the way the person had in mind?
Because change isn't the be all and end all. There's more going on. There's more pieces to it, which is where the flow funnel comes in when we start looking at the fact that there are different aspects and levels to ourselves. If my thoughts are positive, but my emotional state is destructive, then my outcome, a positive and a negative is a negative. My outcome is not going to be positive.
Mm.
So we've got to look at all of the pieces, both in isolation and together, because I have to know, well, what am I moving towards? What instructions am I actually giving to reality as to what I'm moving towards? If I'm not clear on that, or I don't know, or I haven't consciously chosen, then that instruction is going to be coming from my unconscious mind. So then we have to ask a question, what is my unconscious mind holding? And one of my favorite phrases is, well, the environment doesn't lie. What does your life look like? The very fact that you're seeking to make a change probably means that the unconscious program that's been running the game for you up until now isn't what you want. So we have to step in and take a conscious direction in that. Then what am I feeling? What's my vibration? What frequency am I operating at? And what experiences relate to that? Then what am I thinking? Because everything that we experience starts with a mental rehearsal, whether consciously or unconsciously. Everything that we're witnessing started here in the mind. So what are those thoughts? So I can change from a positive to a negative, right? I can be a positive person and the experience happens. I have a different quality of thought. Then I'm having a negative. I'm not going to have a positive then, am I? So change in and of itself isn't always going to be good, but it is going to be change. We have to be deliberate and directive with our thought and our emotion state and our intentions so that we do move to growth and positive change.
So kind of speaking on behalf of our audience here, who include people who aren't familiar with this whole stuff yet, you raised two points there that I wanted to ask about. The first one is you kind of hinted at the idea that our entire life, everything around us, we created it. I mean, that's kind of what you were saying there at one point, that all we have to do is look around and see what's there, and we created that.
So here's the thing. Everybody's going to be coming from a different place. And I diverge from some of my peers in some areas. And one of the areas I diverge from my peers is this. It's that anything that I'm saying to you is only going to be real for you if it's real for you. Because the reticular activating system, which is a part of the brain that sort of acts as a filter to what we consciously experience, if something falls outside of the remit of what that says is real, then I won't be able to witness it. So if I believe that I create my life, then I create all of my life. If I don't believe it, then my experience is not going to reflect that. So someone who believes that the devil, for example, is responsible for all of the bad stuff that happens to them and God's responsible for all the good stuff, their reality is going to reflect that, because their thoughts are going to act as a filter to anything that sits outside of that. An analogy that I love to use is that if we look at reality as a Netflix experience or some kind of streaming service, right? All of the outcomes that we would like to experience, everything that we'd like to have in our reality, whether it's better health, the love of our life, having financial freedom or wealth, or just being comfortable and not in a space of stress, living a life of meaning, so on and so forth, these are all movies available, right? But when it comes to reality, this has been scientifically demonstrated that the experiences that we're connecting to, we don't do it based on what we say we want. We do it based on what we connect with through our vibration. And by that, I mean how we feel connects us to a different movie. So we don't select it with the cursor or the finger. We select it with our state of being. So if my state of being now relates to financial freedom, then that's the movie that's going to be selected. If it relates to poverty and lack, then that's the movie that's going to be selected. If my vibration is operating at being alone, then it's going to be that. If I'm a cat lady, I'm going to be that. If I'm with the love of my life, it's going to be that. That starts the ball rolling. But here's the thing. Many of us have a firewall stopping the experience that we want coming into our streaming device. And that firewall is our beliefs. Limiting beliefs stop that movie being downloaded for us to be able to watch it. It stops it coming into our experience. So when we're working on mindset and working on our thought quality, what we're doing is dropping or configuring, reconfiguring that firewall so that the movie we've selected for financial freedom, for abundance, for love, for health can come to our device. And then the action piece is pressing play. So do we create our lives? It's been scientifically demonstrated that reality is composed of energy that only takes physical shape based on the expectation of the person observing it. So we do, scientifically demonstrated. But the level of direct dominion that we have over what shape that takes, what movie that we're connecting to, comes down to us. And if our firewall doesn't allow us to have more dominion, then our unconscious mind is going to do the heavy lifting. But then again, it's going to give us what we've always been getting. So it's probably not going to be a new reality.
So if I were to kind of boil that down to a single statement, I think I'd probably say we are only not experiencing the optimum that we hope to experience because we stop ourselves from doing so.
Basically, or we haven't selected the one that we want because we're always selecting. Energy only takes shape if there's an observer. What sound does a tree make falling in an empty forest? None, because there's nobody to hear it. So if I'm not consciously stepping up to the plate, that constant creation, because we're always creating, whether we're conscious of it or not, that creation is going to be happening at an unconscious level, but then it's going to be giving us what we've always had. But it's always happening. Otherwise, we wouldn't be witnessing reality. We're always manifesting. Because it's the manifestation, the relationship between energy, which makes up reality, and us as the observer.
So one of the things I love about your work, your writing, and so forth, is the great detail you go into tying concepts together and showing how they all work together. And you do it beautifully.
Thank you.
One of the challenges that I think someone runs into when they hear you is that probably there's at least a few listeners saying, well, you know, all that sounds really good, but, you know, my life still is messed up. What the heck am I supposed to do about it? I mean, that's theory. That's just theory. What can I possibly be doing with theory?
Then good luck. Good luck and have fun living a crap life.
Or apply it.
That's tough.
The theories are formed to apply.
Because actually them making that state, Alex is right. You're not applying it then. And I've had, you know, over the years, whether it's been when I've been doing this professionally or whether I've just been sharing my thoughts, musings and findings socially or whatever, there are always going to be people that have comments of that nature to say. But here's the thing. You're actually you're speaking to what I'm saying, because you holding that belief is keeping up a firewall that's not letting you experience anything different.
So basically by raising a point like that, I'm showing my firewall.
You're showing your firewall. And here's the really cool thing about the way the universe works. You're welcome to think like that. Nobody's telling you have to think something different. And I think, especially for people in my field, you know, not trying to save people, but just making yourself available to those who would like to exchange thoughts and ideas with you, would like to perhaps commune with you and get support in moving forward, then you're available to do that. But if someone wants to be unhappy, which unfortunately some people don't realize that they're running on a program of wanting to be unhappy, I'm not saying desiring, unconsciously wanting to be unhappy, then that's what they're going to get, and that's what they're going
to
be.
So, Alex, as you're listening to this, I mean, you like me are probably thinking back to, you know, the first time you heard about this whole law of attraction thing, looking back on your own life, asking yourself, okay, have I been putting up blocks in my own firewall, and so on and so forth. But tell us a little more specifically, what are you taking from what Daniel's saying?
So what he's saying right now, I'm taking that, let me see. From mainly I was focusing on the part where he said people that are wanting to be unhappy. And I totally agree with that. I think some people are just don't know where to be or who to be without the drama. So that's what they stick to. Because if someone's not worried about them, or if they're not worried about other people, they don't know who they are.
Interesting point. Yeah. It's a very common phenomenon, isn't it? Lots of people are drawn to drama. I mean, look at what we like in our entertainment. I mean, just look at what's popular. It's pretty evident how large a role that drama plays in our lives. And yet what you're taking from it is the drama ain't really helping you all that much.
You got to compartmentalize. Like, you can help people and you have your moments, but like, don't make it about your whole life. Like, I like drama, but I like it on TV. Keep it out there. So I can always change the channel. I don't bring it into my life. I don't associate with stress. I don't do any of those things. Specifically for the point of being at peace in my own mind.
And how has that approach worked out for you? Has it worked well?
Oh, I'm still here. So. Looking pretty good for me.
Okay. It sounds like a booming endorsement to me.
Yep.
This is good, though, because especially when we're talking to people who like the people who are tuning into the cable channel who have never heard this stuff before or who have perhaps only minimal experience with it. Probably if you have heard something about it, you may have heard about the movie The Secret. Maybe you heard about, you know, some chat on a social media channel or something like that. But that's about it. And so to hear this piece of conversation that talks about essentially personal responsibility. And we're not talking about waving magic wands and uttering, you know, secret words and handshakes and all that kind of stuff.
No.
Well, maybe we are. We'll find out in a moment. But we're actually talking about taking responsibility for our thoughts, for our feelings, for our intentions, for what we're doing in our lives. And, well, what does that have to do with law of attraction? Apparently it has a lot.
Do you know the funny thing? Well, it's just so funny that we're talking about this today because my newsletter came out today. And we shared a video that I put on YouTube called The Lazy Choice.
Oh, I saw that.
Thank you. Because there are a lot of people listening to this that should probably just keep doing life the way they're doing it now and not bother even trying with the law of attraction stuff.
Because
they're not ready. Because it's a completely different way of looking at reality. It's a completely different way of showing up. And they're not ready because they don't really want it. They are unconsciously enjoying the experience of being whiny, blaming people, not taking responsibility for their life, leaving their reality in the hands of their unconscious because they're lazy. And we don't like to hear that. And it may not be that they're lazy across the board. There are some things that I'm lazy about. And you know what? I own it. I don't beat myself up about it. I don't get into shame. I'm just, okay, I'm lazy about that. And sometimes it's just for a period of time. But stepping into having dominion over your reality, in the short term at least, is going to be a lot of work. There may be some pain because you're going to be withdrawing from the chemicals and hormones being produced in your body from experiencing stress, experiencing drama, experiencing blame. There's going to be some shocks to the system of losing a sense of the identity that we have wrapped in other people being responsible for our pain versus us accepting that we actually had a choice. And there's going to be difficult conversations to have with yourself and with others as you realize that maybe you're the person that has been bringing pain to other people's lives too. And for a lot of us, we don't want to do that. And so my thing is, ask yourself, do you really want it? Because if you don't, maybe just go ahead and do things where you're doing them now. Or just watch this for entertainment purposes, because we're going to be laughing every Thursday. But if that's what you want to do, just own it. Don't guilt yourself. Don't shame yourself. Don't take that pain out on others. Just own. This is where I'm at. I'm a bit of a lazy bum when it comes to X, Y, and Z. I'm ready to do some work for A, B, and C, but not across the board, or maybe not. Mm-hmm.
So now that a significant chunk of the new audience has just clicked over to another channel, we've left people who are actually ready to make some change. So, okay, now that we've kind of filtered it down to the people who are ready, what's next? What's the next step?
Is that one to me or to Alex? Or?
Well, let's go with you. You're our resident expert. Alex is our color commentator. So
I'm not an expert. I'm just another guy that's on the journey that
happens to spend a bit anyway.
More time on it. Today, this is your name. This is your role. You will accept it. I did. I just kept my promise about laughing. So beyond intention for me, which is the model that I speak about most and I write about. It's my model that I've made over the last 12 years or so. Topic of my best-selling book, Stepping Beyond Intention, which we are re-editing to do a 2020 cut.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah,
we're doing a 2020 edition. Coming out of 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
That is available also, on Amazon.
Yeah, we're also redoing the money game, actually, as well, with some more. Because there's been so much uncertainty and stuff, so we're updating that now. We're in the middle of doing that. But anyway, beautiful. Beyond Intention. So Beyond Intention basically looks at four steps. Number one, choosing what you desire, so setting an intention. And for me, an intention is a conscious choice in the direction of what we're, of where we're moving, a conscious choice in what we're creating, witnessing, manifesting, all right? Then it's... No, that's the flow funnel. I just started talking about the flow funnel. Let's go to Beyond Intention and walk away from the flow funnel.
That's one all right.
Step at a time.
No blame going on here.
Or actually, no, you do need an intention. So you do need an intention. So... Rewind what I said when I said I didn't mean what I said. This is what I mean. You set the intention. Once we have the intention, it's about choosing to step into that intention. And we have to begin with accepting the responsibility or the keys to the car to get us to that destination. So step one of Beyond Intention is accept. And accept is really all about what's my state of mind. Is my state of mind one of blame or is it one of ownership and self-empowerment? Because if any part of your experience is still blaming someone else, then you're leaving the door open for you to not experience what you're seeking to create. So the first thing is get clear on what you actually want. So put that in the box. Then we step up and say, am I ready to own the power and responsibility that I have to bring this to life?
Interesting starting point. I don't think most people who have ever read a self-help book or talked with a coach or something like that, ever started with acceptance. I doubt that was probably the first idea that came to them. Mm-hmm. But I have to agree in terms of what we talk about, it's pretty critical. It's a critically important one. I mean, talk about that for a minute. Why is acceptance so important?
Because so long as someone else has the power to create your life, then you don't.
Mm.
In short. And before we even start, let's leave other people out. Let's just come back to us and the complexities of the mind. Dr. Bruce Lipton says 90 to 95% of our day is spent running on our unconscious programs. And of those unconscious programs, an average 70% of that programming wasn't even consciously chosen. It wasn't habits that we formed. It was things that were fed to us generally when we were operating at primarily theta brainwave state between the ages of like 2 and 7, when we're just soaking up, witnessing, observing, and learning through experience what the world is, what the rules of our world are, and so on and so forth. So if I was happy with the results I was getting from that programming, I wouldn't need to come and do self-help. I wouldn't need to come and listen to LOA today. I wouldn't need to go and, you know, on YouTube or read books. I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy with what I have. So the fact that I'm not happy with what I have means that what's been running the show, what's been setting those directions, been setting the course vectors up until now, doesn't match my actual desires. So if I'm not taking that power back, not reclaiming the programs that are currently setting out and giving the instructions, then I'm going to keep getting the same thing. Unless something changes, it's going to be the same. So I can go off and I can read all the books and I can do all the things and I can do all the meditations and all of the stuff. But if I haven't stepped up and said, this is my life and I'm the one choosing what it is, and sat down and consciously, cognitively connected to what that outcome is, I'm going to keep getting the same regardless of what I do.
And this ties in essentially to the first point that we were talking about, the idea that we are the common denominator in our lives. So this is literally accepting responsibility for, this is me accepting responsibility for my life.
For your life.
I'm the one who's responsible for what happens. You know, I can't control everything that happens to me, but I can control my responses to it. I can control how I feel about it.
I can also control how I react. I can be deliberate in what happens in the first place. Because if we're talking about control, we're talking about changing the course of something that's in movement. Versus me being deliberate in creating it going in the right direction, so I don't have to control it because I know it's going where I want it to go. Now, there may be things that show up that I wasn't aware of being possible, or things that come and surprise me, or blah, blah, blah. But if I'm able to have dominion over how I respond to things, then even that's not a concern, because I dictate how much power that has over to me. Someone can punch me in the face. I have no control over someone punching me in the face.
Well, right? You might be able to block it, but yes, you can't stop the initiation.
But then I can. But that's
his response.
But the response might be I might block it. Mm-hmm. The response might be I might turn the other cheek. The response might be I might play dead. I don't know. But I have a choice. Now, I have to look at, some people say, well, I didn't consciously choose. I didn't want to be punched in the face. Let's be real. Most people aren't punching people in the face for no reason. Or if we're in an environment where people punch people in the face for no reason, we have the choice about whether we're going to be there in the first place. So I have a choice about where I put myself physically.
Mm-hmm.
I have a choice about what research, investigation, or conscious thought I put into where I'm going to be and the people that are going to be there. So I still have, at some level, if we want to go down the rabbit hole, which we're not going to do here today, but, you know, we can take that a step further in terms of even before even all of this thing, pre-thought and non-physical, the non-physical aspect of the creation process. But here, even in terms of three-dimensional physical reality, what I experience with my senses, I have a choice with how I respond and if I'm even there in the first place. And in those times when I go somewhere accidentally, unaware, even though I'd done my best to make sure that I was going to be in a safe place, not from a place of fear, but just because it's sensible, and I still get punched in the face, I have a choice in how I respond to it.
That's a big deal, that choice. It's not the first thing that comes to our mind, because usually for most people, that first choice, not first choice, the first preference that comes to mind is to blame someone.
Yeah, because it's easy. And because most of the time we're lazy. And, you know, hopefully over time, the listeners will get to see that as much as I might chastise from a place of jest, anytime I say anything, I'm speaking to myself first. So when I'm saying, you know, about being lazy, I'm lazy sometimes too. There's some things that I'm lazy about, right? So if I was perfect, if anyone was perfect, we wouldn't be experiencing it anyway, because I would have ascended into the heavens and joined the angels and blah, 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 blah. So we're all human. So we all have things that aren't where we perhaps want them to be. We're all moving somewhere or not, but we're all here. We're all human. So let's just take everyone we know off a pedestal and put them on the same level and say we're all human. All of us on some level are lazy. We all are, on some level, in some aspect of our life. There's going to be somewhere where we're not. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't even be here to experience this conversation, because, again, ascended into the heavens, angels' wings, and so on and so forth. So just accept that there's some things that you're going to be lazy about and be okay with that. Because going back to the lazy choice, by just accepting it and being okay with it, you actually bring back the energy to you and get more power to change the experience around that thing that you're lazy around, or at least be able to manage it so it doesn't have a disempowering effect on your reality.
And you also have the opportunity to change direction. Say, okay, well, I've been lazy up until now. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. Exactly. But you know what? I think I'm going to stop being lazy now. I'm going to go do something that I really need to get done.
There you go. Or do you know what? I've been lazy up until now. Has it worked? No. I can make that choice and have that discussion with myself if I'm present and aware enough to do that. If I'm blaming other people, then I don't have the keys to the car. I'm sitting in the driver's seat, but I've given the keys to someone else. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people sitting in the driver's seat of their life and have thrown the keys at Donald Trump, or they're throwing the keys at Joe Biden, or they've thrown the keys at the Fauci guy, or they've thrown the keys at Bill Gates, or they've thrown the keys at the weather. They've thrown the keys at hip hop. They've thrown the keys somewhere.
Right.
And then are sitting, stamping their feet, complaining that the car's not moving.
But in fact, all they had to do is put it into gear and start driving.
I think we can see how stupid that is.
a little bit.
A ridiculous thing.
So is that being for or against being in your comfort zone?
I talk about pushing your edge and not your buttons.
Okay. And what's the difference between edge and buttons?
Edge, I'm expanding, I'm growing, which is the natural, it's nature's way, right? Everything in nature's growing until it's not, which is when it's dying, right? Even if you look at the death of us as humans, the telomeres stop growing, the DNA stops repairing, the genes stop reproducing, eventually something fails and stops functioning and the system breaks down and we die. If we're not growing, we're dying. We're in deterioration, degradation. I can ease into growth. I can make one thing more expansive. I can deal with one aspect of my laziness. I can run for 10 minutes longer, if you do that sort of thing. I can do one more rep. I can read one more page than I did yesterday. I can hold my breath for a bit longer. I can meditate for 5 minutes more, right? I can do all of that. That's pushing my edge.
Okay.
Pushing my buttons is going further than I'm able to hold. And if I push my buttons, I'm probably going to stop. The prospect of the big leap, I'm going to procrastinate. Even if I do make it, I'm going to end up backsliding. I won't be able to sustain that level of expansion.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to freak out, get into anxiety, or just have a meltdown, and it's just not going to work. Or I'm going to get into stress. So push your edge, not your buttons. Ease into that growth. Ask, where am I now, and what step can I make beyond that I know I can make? That's the micro shift. Then I make another one, then I make another one, then I make another one. Pushing your edge and not your buttons.
Alex, he makes it sound so easy.
Well, it is.
I would say that it's simple, not easy.
Yeah.
But he does make it sound easy. You know, you just got to change the way you're approaching this and say, okay, I'm going to stop being lazy. I'm going to start taking responsibility. I'm just going to leave behind that stuff that I don't like and start on the stuff that feels better to me. It sounds so easy.
It's straightforward. It's straightforward and not easy, though. Think about it. If you spent your entire life being a punk that blames everyone else, your entire state of being has become accustomed to that. Your entire state of being has become accustomed to someone else being responsible. You know, the likelihood that with grace and ease, you're going to be able to spin around and start taking that power back is very low. If I'm only 15 years old, I've spent 15 years learning to be a punk that blames everyone else. It may take more than 5 minutes for me to, it may take more than, you know, the amount of times that I've seen, you know, people, not just my work, but other people's work. I did the meditation every day for a week. Nothing worked. Ugh, it doesn't work. I need to try something else. Dude, you spent 47 years practicing being who you are today. 47 years hardwiring the neural pathways and the neurons around those behaviors, those automatic thinking processes. It may take more than 5 minutes to reverse all of that and go in a new direction.
It's simple,
but not easy.
Yeah. It shows an advantage that anyone who's relatively young has, because they just haven't built up those neural pathways as much as somebody who's older. You know, so they've got a little bit of a head start in that sense. A little bit easier to make a shift. But it also points to the fact that even if you've got a few gray hairs like I do, like all of them, It's not too late. You can still make the shift. It's just going to take a little while. That's all. You have to be a little bit more patient. And it's not, patience isn't something that I normally preach for. It's not something I advocate for. But by the same token, I don't expect every single time that I put a wish out there that it's going to happen 5 seconds from now. It's amazing how often it does do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't expect that. I expect that it's going to happen when it can happen.
I think that's the key. It's not putting a time restraint on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you remember, if I'm thinking about time, then I'm subject to time.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And, you know, when people ask me, oh, how long is it going to take? It's going to take as long as it takes you to stop thinking about how long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that basically falls in the category of not accepting.
Well, divine timing is now, because time is a construct that's created by humans in order to experience reality, right? Natural time actually is the movement of the stars and so on and so forth. We've created leap years and all of that and blah, 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 because we broke away from observing natural time. Like the lunar calendar observes natural time, the cycles of the stars, and that's how they keep track of time, natural time. So we made these numbers and then these days of the week and then these months and these years and this calendar and that calendar, blah, blah, blah. And there's this whole thing that we're all tied up in, and the universe is like, but the only thing that's real is now. So when you're ready, I'll give it to you now. And until then, I guess we're playing by this time thing that you created, because the universe isn't a tyrant. It gives us what we asked for. So, okay, you want to have this thing called time? I guess that's how we're doing it. How much is it going to take for you to stop doing that so I can just give it to you now?
When we started this conversation, I started by kind of equating law of attraction to the Christian concept of sowing and reaping. So there are going to be some people who are saying, well, what's all this universe talk? Why don't you just talk about it being God? Why talk about it in terms of universe?
I personally use the word God because I got over the whole thing of the word God. So in my alchemic life creation program, there's a module called Fear Not the Word Thy God. It's just a word. But we've got emotional attachments to it because of what's happened in terms of what people have done in the name of this thing that we call God. When I'm generally speaking now, I use Gus, God, Universe, Source. Like, whatever word you want to.
Oh, I like that. In.
Whatever word you want to swap in. Do you want to use God? Do you want to use Universe? Do you use Divine? The quantum field? Everything except God. Whatever. Like whatever floats your boat, because that thing that we're referring to probably got more things going on than wondering what name you're going to use for it, considering that the word God comes from the German word gut, which just means good. If you go into scripture, there's no scripture that uses the word God. If you go into the New Testament, it has theos. If you go into the Old Testament, there's about 7 or 8 different names. You've got Eloh, Elohim, Adonai. You've got so many names, all of the names.
All
none
the names.
Of them are God.
So, oh my God, there's a lot of names.
It's just it's like do you want to get caught in that, or should we just sort of just like deal with what's
get to the point? Yeah.
I think this is a trap for us to get that we get caught up in sometimes. What name are we gonna use? Why don't we just get on with just using, you know, leave the name out of it? Like, I don't think God really cares, to be honest.
Along those lines, I do have a question. My mother-in-law was asking me, she's getting into the whole law of attraction thing, and she's been watching the podcast. And
hey.
Hi. Right. Hi, Kendra. So she has this whole hang up on when she prays, she has a vision of God and who she's talking to. So when she's asking me, when I talk to the universe, who am I talking to? What vision do I have in my head? So that's my question to you guys. Who are you talking to?
Do you want to go first, or shall I?
I'll let you go.
You'll let me go. Okay. You've been doing enough talking today. That's the idea.
Yeah, I'll take a commercial break.
Yeah. Okay. For me, this is going to sound heretical to some people. I think that my spiritual connection to that eternal thing, that makes me part of God. So I'm talking to myself, and I'm talking to God, and I'm talking to Source. I'm talking to everything inside.
Mm-hmm.
beyond the organs.
Beyond the organs.
Right. The spiritual stuff, the energy stuff, that's what I'm talking to. And that's mm-hmm. ultimately where my answers come from. That was a big challenge for me, particularly early on when I was first exposed to these concepts, because, and to a large extent, this still happens to me. I'll go within and I get nothing. Mm. You know, okay, I'm listening inside, silence, crickets, nothing happening. And, you know, that gets old pretty quick. Yeah. I'm not making any progress here. But what I've also learned over time is that I don't have to have an instant answer. Mm. I can pose the question, thereby letting my subconscious mind, which you were referring to earlier, Daniel, kind of take over the processing of it. And all of a sudden, sometimes out of the blue, a thought comes to me that I didn't have before, and I wasn't focusing on it. In other words, I wasn't spending time thinking about, geez, I wonder what the solution to this problem is. I'm going to try to work it out. Right. It just kind of comes to me while I'm doing something else, like, oh, where did that come from? That, to me, is when I'm getting a message back from myself, from God, from the internal, whatever you want to call it. And I'm learning to pay attention to those and to actually act on them, because what I'm finding is when I act on them, they work out pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
They work out really, really good. So who am I praying to? It isn't so much who I'm praying to. It's who I'm listening to.
Right.
The prayer part is almost secondary. It's more about what message am I getting back, and am I noticing it? Mm-hmm. Which is something we've talked about a lot here on the podcast. I mean, for people who are new, you won't obviously know this, but longtime listeners of the show will know. We talk a lot about all the different stuff that we previously asked to manifest, to show up in our lives, that shows up, and we don't recognize that we asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make the connection. It happens all the time, but we don't make the connection. And I think one of the reasons why that happens is, if this is kind of alluding to what I was referring to earlier when I asked you a question about, are we creating our lives? I really do believe we create all of our lives. And because everything in my life is something I created first in my thoughts before anything else happened, even if it was, yes, I manifested money that I went out and earned so I could go buy something. To my mind, that's still manifesting. That's still drawing it into my life. And when I look at it that way, I say to myself, well, okay, now I have to think about it entirely differently, because everything that comes into my life I previously thought about is probably worth my time to recognize that fact.
Right.
Recognize that fact. That's what I feel like gives me the power. So it isn't so much who am I praying to. It isn't so much what the prayer is, although certainly those are important in their own way.
They have a role to play.
They have a very important role to play. It's more about what's my role in it? Mm-hmm. What role am I playing in the process? And that goes back to what you were talking about, Daniel. We are the common denominator in every aspect of our lives. So there's my answer. What's yours?
Because of you, I can't do it now. Too many vegetables today. You don't go down that road. Don't worry.
New listeners won't understand that joke, but just stick with us for a few episodes. You'll get it.
I won't sully our name on the airwaves and have complaints. Or will I? For me, there's the personification, which I think makes it easier to develop a relationship. So for me, when we're talking about that thing, it's in everywhere and in everything. If we talk about omnipresence isn't, omnipresence is complete. No, omnipresence means everywhere. And when we look at the common traits that are attributed to God, the universe, omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience, omnipresence means that God is everywhere. So I actually aim to make all of my life a commune.
Mm.
Right? When I had this epiphany, he says, like a year or so ago, I was sitting in a workshop thinking about something. I was like, oh, you know, I really want to level up my relationship with God. It's like, well, why don't you just level up the relationships with the expressions of God that are in your life every day?
Boom.
The guides, which are it's a consciousness that's channeled by a guy called Paul Selig, in their book, Word, I Am the Word, there's this powerful line that I love and I use it all the time. It's like, God is in the man that you don't like.
Ooh.
So I look at how I'm showing up moment to moment and allow my life itself to be a prayer. Do I set aside dedicated time in order to have a specific conscious connection? Yeah, I have that as part of my morning practice and my evening practice. But I'm not looking at a guy who may be black, may be white, may have a beard, may not, may be a guy, may not be a guy, right? May be on the throne, may not be, who knows, right? Elephants, whatever. It's on film. But for me, it's just being open to not knowing what I don't know. Looking at what I do know, which is that principle of omniscience, looking at that principle of omnipresence, and putting more focus not on who I'm talking to in those quiet times, but how I'm dealing with the people that I talk to in my life every day, because God is in the man that you don't like.
Good answer.
Oof. That was deep. I like that.
So we're going to throw it to you, Alex, now. We've kind of set up the table here. You've got a lot of different choices you can pull from. But what's the answer from your perspective? Answer your mother-in-law's question.
I've tried.
Well, you've got good practice then. You've got all that background that you practice with. Now this is like, okay, let's try it again.
Well, I am going to go with Daniel's approach the next time I talk to her, though. I definitely am. But, yeah, I've never actually – no, I can't say I've never thought about it because I learned about – well, I started off with Alloway with The Secret, the movie.
Okay.
Didn't believe any of it. I was like, whatever. This lady made me watch this movie. Now my time is wasted. And so, I was like, I don't know why we're watching religious movies. We're supposed to be at work. Whatever. So I ignored it. And then, like, as I got into my 30s, I started seeing things differently and realizing my life the way it was is not working. And so I moved from saying God because I felt like I was singling out one person. Not that he's a person or she's a person, but I felt like I was singling out one thing. When I say universe, I feel like I'm encompassing everything.
Oh.
So I'm not missing anybody. Mm-hmm. Depending on who's in charge, I'm not missing anybody.
See, that's a beautiful example of perspective. I love mm-hmm. that. And Daniel's is too. All three of us, really. I mean, we got three different ways of looking at the same thing that largely overlap with each other. But yeah, the way you expressed that one, I like that one. That's just sweet. That's really nice. Not to mention funny, but that's another thing.
I try.
Yeah, do very, very well. Okay. One of the things that we do here on the show is we encourage listeners and viewers to send in questions. And even though people who are tuning into us on the cable channel may not have seen us before, we do have a very large audience who has followed us for some time. And one of them put in a question on one of our YouTube videos from a few weeks back. And I wanted to share it particularly with you, Daniel, because he makes reference, or she, I'm not sure if it's a he or she, makes reference to your book, your ebook, The Money Game. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take advantage of that to just for a moment point out to our new viewers on the cable channel that there is an LOA Today app that you can get. You can download it for your iPhone or for your Android phone, either one. And it includes a bunch of what we call goodies, including an ebook that Daniel wrote called The Money Game, which is essentially a book about how to get yourself into the belief system and into the experience of bringing money into your life, especially unexpected money, money that you weren't really counting on that just kind of shows up. It's a really great way to build up belief and a great way to build up confidence that you really can be a creator in your own life. But this person was tuned in and he or she, I'm not sure which because the screen name is a little bit vague on that, but they asked the question. They gave us a little background of what was going on, and then she asked a question. I guess it is a she now that I look at the context. She says, today I was looking for this episode because a friend and me are interested in testing the money game that is so often mentioned. Now, lack, and we haven't really gotten into that in this show, but lack is a pretty important concept in what we talk about here. Lack is an important term in this story, she says, which brings me to my own story. My father is someone who weighs every purchase carefully and mainly buys things because of their practical use. And even then, there's an internal discussion, a need to convince himself. Oddly enough, he makes decent money, which seems to make the weighing exercise rather redundant, but obviously it doesn't, and which doesn't seem to coincide with his worldview of lack. Now, I took over this stance, and I still live it today. I was raised to not waste water, electricity, and other resources, and apply it to the degree of denying myself things I'd like and fussing about it all day, every day. Now, listening to this particular episode that she was watching rekindled a thought about the environmental movement and whether this movement is something that people perceive more when living in a state of lack. My boyfriend, for instance, buys what makes him happy, and I sometimes berate him for it, poor guy. Well, I should probably follow his example. It's hard enough to ignore these, quote, facts, unquote, that I perceive of planetary resources being limited. But I guess the law of attraction states that I only perceive them because of my state of mind. So, does this mean that others don't perceive it, or does it mean something else? So she's kind of raising a broad range of questions, but she's talking about the money game. I'm going to go to you first. Can you help her out?
I don't know what her question is.
A lot of questions in one.
There were a lot of questions in there. She's basically dealing with her own perceptions of lack.
Well, I would say, first and foremost, everything's too complicated, and the environment doesn't lie. If she's speaking that complicated, her brain's probably complicated, and that means she's probably not going to have the clarity to move forward. There's too much stuff going on.
So what can she do?
Stop. Just stop. Pause. Pick one place that she'd like to start and address that singular place without the story. There's a lot of story. There's a lot of narrative. There's a lot of stuff. If she just stopped and paused, what does she really want? Does she want us to feel sorry for her because of what she's been through? Does she want us to understand her pain? Does she want to be heard? Does she want to be seen? Or does she want to be supported? In which case, what does she want to be supported with? This is where the first point will be, because I see this sometimes even on group calls. Like, we have space for shares. People just really just want everybody to know what's going on with them because it's a place for them to be seen. We see this in Facebook groups that are moderators of. Like, people are finally somewhere where people see them and understand them. Mm-hmm. And all they're doing is playing out the old patterns of being unseen and using this as a space to be seen versus doing anything else. That's where the energy is locked in. They're not going anywhere. So I would say have her let go of whatever her dad stuff is, because she's aware of it now. So now she has a choice as to whether it's her stuff or not. Her dad's now got nothing to do with it. So now she's aware her dad now has nothing to do with it. He didn't even need to feature in this conversation. Come back to her. If she's not experiencing what she wants, what does she want to experience? Until she's able to let go of all of the stuff and the stories related to other people and be very clear on what it is she wants for herself, she's not going anywhere.
That's a great diagnosis, I'll call it, in particular because the one question she actually did raise is, does this mean that others don't perceive it? And just asking that question points to the fact that she's trying to figure everybody else out. She's not trying to figure herself out.
And as long as your consciousness can't be in two places at the same time, right? So as long as your consciousness is wrapped up in what other people are doing, it's not creating your life. That means your life is being run by your unconscious programs, in which case there's no point in us having a conversation. It'd be wasting my time and yours.
Mm.
And I may appear to be a little bit ruthless with that, but any time I spend having that pointless conversation with you is energy I'm taking away from creating my life and me being present and consciously aware enough to create my own experience, which I choose not to do. So bring your energy back to you, and from that place, choose what do you want for you, and then you may just have enough conscious awareness in the now to create what you desire for yourself.
And Alex, I'm kind of anticipating a pretty pithy answer. You're always pithy with your answers, but I expect a particularly pithy one in this case.
And it sounds like you're saying pithy with a lisp.
It's quite possible that I am. I won't rule that out.
I'll take it either way. I'm just saying.
My tongue doesn't always know what my eye teeth are doing anyway, so you know it's quite possible.
Oh God.
Not the eye teeth.
I imagine that you run into conversations kind of like this at times with people. What do you say when you run into somebody who's dealing with this kind of thing?
I totally agree with what Daniel's saying. There's way too much going on. Like, she's got to focus on one thing at a time. I don't understand what her dad I understand what her dad has to do with it because that's what she learned. Why it had to be a point in the story, I don't get that. where her boyfriend came from. Let him have his stuff. Get your own stuff. Like, who cares? It doesn't affect your bills. Stop sweating it. Mm-hmm. And to answer her question about do other people perceive it? No, because it's your issues. So nobody's worried about your issues but you. Or at least you should be.
People care about our stuff a lot less than we think they do.
Mm.
People are more self-absorbed, than we give them credit for.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's true.
I do have to run, though.
I think I would also add in another idea here. And I know you have to get going, Daniel. We have to get going, too, because we're running out of time. So, Daniel, we'll bid you goodbye, and Alex and I will finish up here. But the one thing I wanted to add in was, if you're focusing on not focusing, which is what you're really doing here, you can't focus on what it is that you want.
Right.
This is focus that's going all over the place. I have lack, my boyfriend, my father, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that by definition not focus?
Yeah, it is. Is there a separate word as over-focus? I don't know.
Well, I think it's under-focus. I think it's like blurry-eyed and just kind of like, oh, there's stuff all over the place. I don't know where to begin.
Long story short, it's the wrong prescription.
It's the wrong prescription, right? Time to get a new eyeglass prescription. Yeah, it's true. It's true. So, okay. Well, hopefully that is helpful to screen name Sahasrara. I probably mispronounced that one, but I usually do
all
that.
All right. Yeah. A for effort.
Yeah. For effort. So, kind of summing up here, for the listeners who actually stuck it out on cable access, congratulations for doing so. Hopefully we haven't totally convinced or confused you, I should say. And I made reference to the LOA Today app because if you go into the goodies section there, not only will you find Daniel's Money Game ebook, but you'll also find a page where you can ask a question. Mm-hmm. And you can actually focus the question to myself or to Alex or to Daniel or to any of the other co-hosts who do these shows 5 days a week. So take advantage of it. Send in a question. Don't worry about how stupid the question sounds or how, you know, elementary it sounds. We're not worried about that. We'll help.
The only stupid question is the one you didn't ask.
The one, that's right. The one you didn't ask or the one you just didn't focus on.
Mm-hmm.
We do ask that you provide some focus so that we know what you're talking about.
A little bit. We only have an hour.
Yeah, that's right. We do have limited time.
Yeah.
But this is good. Okay, so this is, I think, helping people who are tuning in for a new tune in among the people who saw us perhaps the first couple of days. Just a reminder to people again on the cable access, our shows are now going to be running. We just found this out the other day. They're going to run at 4 p.m. and at 8:30 Monday through Friday. So you'll be able to catch us in the afternoon or in the evening. So please continue to follow and download the app because that's a great way to listen to all the episodes. And Alex, once again, thank you very much for your wonderful support and contributions and your humor. And, you know, it's been good. And thanks, of course, to Daniel as well, because we appreciate him. And thank you also to our podcast listeners. We have hundreds and hundreds of podcast listeners who tune in and have been tuning in for the last 8 years. And we didn't mean to ignore you. We're just trying to help out some newbies. But thank you for joining us for the ride today. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.